Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Hey, that's us. I am the incandescent Steve Rosenblum. He is the legendary and iconic Hub Arkish. We are in for Mully and Haw today. Labor Day. Hope you're enjoying it, despite what we might be doing to it. We're talking football is what we're doing. And we are broadcasting and talking football live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Phone number here, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767, also gets you to the Score's text line. 630 texter, did you guys happen to notice that the Cubs are only 3 games back of the wild card? We noticed that at 6 this morning. We talked about it then. And then we talked about it later on in the hour. We'll talk about it later on this hour with Megan Montemurro of the Tribune. She covers the Cubs. We're quite aware of that. And 630 texter, did you notice the Mets are closer to the Braves than the Cubs are? Just thought I'd bring that up.
Yeah, we probably should point out, we are technically correct that the Cubs are 3 games out of the wild card. But because they can't win a tiebreaker with anybody, they're actually 4 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, they need a lot more to happen. I want to alert you to this. Simonize your watches. Join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville this Thursday, September 5th, as Matt Spiegel and The Afternoon Show will be doing their show from there 2 to 6 p.m. Stop in to win prizes and shop for all things game day. Visit rallyhouse.com to find the location nearest you. So we were talking Bears, and they're starting the season, and we are attempting to reach Clay Harbor even as we speak and talk more Bears with him. And I have a hard time grasping the idea that some people think the Detroit Lions are going to the Super Bowl and yikes could win it. Can you help me with that? Is how do I get through that? Maybe it's because of the franchise. It's like imagining the Bears with a real quarterback. You know what? Let's ask this of our guest. Let's go to the guest hotline. Guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. We welcome to the show former NFL tight end Clay Harbor. Clay, I'm grasping. I need some therapy here, some Bears therapy. Clay, how do I wrap my arms around the idea that some people think the Detroit Lions are going to go to the Super Bowl and yikes could win it? Can you help me with this? How do I get past this?
I don't think you're going to like my answer here. I think that that's actually a valid point. When you look at the Lions last year, they were one boneheaded play away from going to the Super Bowl. If Dan Campbell doesn't forget where he's at, and trust me, I love Dan Campbell. He was my tight end coach when I played with the Saints. He was a great tight end coach. Learned more with him in 1 year than I did the rest of my career. Awesome guy. But if he doesn't make those boneheaded plays going for it on the two-point conversion from the 10-yard line, if he kicks the field goal later in that game, they're in the Super Bowl. They should have been in the Super Bowl. And to me, this team has gotten better. Brian Johnson and this offense has done nothing but be the best offense in the league, his third best offense in the league since he's got there the last 2 years. This guy has turned down head coaching jobs. He's probably the best offensive play caller, sorry, Kyle Shanahan, in the NFL. And he's got Jared Goff playing unbelievable football. Jameson Williams is coming off of a year, or coming into a year, where it's actually his first year. He was suspended. He was hurt. He's going to be a weapon alongside Amon-Ra and then Sam Laporta. I'm sorry, but he might be top three, four tight end in the league this year. Obviously, after Kittle and Kelsey, I put Laporta right there. This offense is good, and they did a lot of good things on their defense, too. So, unfortunately, I do think the Lions are for real. I played with the Lions for a season. That was actually before last year. It was actually their last trip to the playoffs, where we got our brains beat in by the Seahawks in Seattle. But, yeah, random story there.
Well, it's understandable that would happen. Those Seahawks were a team. Those Seahawks were what everybody wanted to grow up to be, the Legion of Boom and all that kind of stuff. So it's not really surprising. It's just hard. And a texture, 630 texture says, Detroit is still Detroit until they're no longer Detroit. Because they're going to Lions things up eventually. And look, Dan Campbell Lions things up. So maybe that's why it's hard for me to grasp that. We just had Wayne Larrivee on to Voice of the Packers. And in talking to him, and Hub said, he really thought he had the Wayne is picturing them as the best team in the division, and here are the Lions picked to go. It's just a hard thing to believe. I don't know if other Bears fans hold that, but it's, you've seen the Lions do this kind of stuff. So what do you think of the division? Dope out the division for me, and what would make Bears fans happy? How could they be happy?
Well, I mean, once again, I don't think they're going to be happy with my ranking of the division, but I think they might like my take on this season's Bears team. So I go with the Lions, man. Once again, Brian Johnson, incredible offensive coordinator. His usage of most motion, how he moves the ball around, how he moves his players around. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have a huge year. We all love David Montgomery. He's got a run game and a pass game. And like I said, Aiden Hutchinson and that defense got even better. So I think they are going to improve off last year, as a year we saw that they should have been in the Super Bowl. The next team should have been in the NFC Championship game if Jordan Love doesn't make his one bad throw of the offseason and throw an interception. They end up beating the 49ers. They beat the brakes off the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs, and Jordan Love has gotten – but he used to be Jordan-like. Now he is Jordan Love. They got a young team, the youngest team in the NFL. I think they're like 25.2. That offense has four receiver weapons, and their tight ends are underrated. Luke Musgrave, I fell in love with this guy at the Senior Bowl. He's going to have a huge year, and people are going to be surprised by it, but you guys aren't because I just told you. And I think Josh Jacobs is a guy that's got some juice left. There's still some tread on those tires, and that defense got better again, okay? Then you got the Bears. I think the Bears are 9-8, 10-7 team as well. But I do think they're third in the pecking order this year. It depends on what Caleb Williams is able to do. I've loved what I've seen from him. I've been to a ton of training camp practices. I've seen all the preseason games, his off-platform stuff, but he is still a rookie. And we talk about C.J. Stroud as if he was undefeated last year. He snuck into the playoffs with that great year he had. He snuck into the playoffs in the last play of the game when Gardner Minshew threw a flat route that was dropped. If this route gets caught, the Colts are in the playoffs. And then C.J. Stroud's not winning a playoff game, not even making the playoffs. And people are talking about him differently. Obviously, he still has a great year. But I do know that he's coming into this season in unprecedented terms with the amount of weapons he has around him. So he can play point guard and also make a few of those plays. But what scares me, guys, is the fact that if one of our defensive linemen go down, I think it's a house of cards just comes clashing down. If Montez Sweat gets injured, if Andrew Billings goes down, the defense is going to be in a tough spot. And there's not a lot of depth there. Let's hope they stay healthy. If they stay healthy, if the offensive line stays healthy and builds on and can play together, which does matter. I know some people think you can just plug and play, but I've been on a ton of offensive lines in my life as a tight end, And it does matter who you're playing next to, getting used to them, their calls, their steps, their techniques, how you get off of double teams, all these things, how they pull, their depth when they pull. There's a lot of things that you have to get used to, the calls. So if we can stay healthy, if the D-line can stay healthy, I think the Bears can sneak into the playoffs, but on a wild card as that last team kind of in, even with the rookie quarterback.
Clay, it's Hub. And first of all, I really enjoyed watching and listening to you last night on NBC Sports. I think you clearly have an excellent future as a broadcaster, if that's what you want. So great job last night.
And appreciate that.
I'm curious, why is nobody talking about the Vikings? I don't think anybody expected J.J. McCarthy to be the day one starter this year. They were the division champs 2 years ago, one season ago. And I think they still have as impressive a roster as the Lions and the Packers and the Bears.
Yeah, the thing, people forget that Sam Darnold was the third overall pick in the NFL draft a few years back. And obviously Carolina didn't do well, but he spent time under Kyle Shanahan, who is a quarterback whisperer. I mean, we could all say that. And then look whose system he's going into. The same system. This is a continuation of his system he's in last year. So he's got 2 years now in the same offense. So to me, that says, okay, this guy's not coming in and learning a completely new system, new verbiage. The words are the same. Unfortunately, I've been a guy that's been released, traded, cut a couple different occasions. And when you go to a system that is that's a branch of another system, it is so much easier and you feel so much more comfortable in that system. It's like a continuation of the same team. So he's got that going for him. But the reason they're not is because people think that Sam Darnold is just the same guy he was in Carolina and he's not going to be a good quarterback. But I think after a year in San Francisco, learning under that Kyle Shanahan system, under Kyle Shanahan, he can be better. I mean, you look at the weapons he's got. He's got the best receiver in football. I don't think nobody's going to argue that. I think Jordan Addison is a guy that nobody's going to argue is a number one caliber receiver. Kyle Rudolph, when he comes back, I think nobody's going to argue is a number one tight end. Offensive line, solid defense, so-so. So I think they are a threat, but the reason nobody's talking about them is just because they don't trust Sam Darnold. And to me, as a Bears fan, I'm a little worried. This guy is a professional quarterback. To me, he's an NFL player. He's an NFL quarterback, and there's no doubt about that. He's coming from a system that he's staying in after learning from one of the best quarterback coaches in the NFL.
Our guest is Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end for 9 seasons. He is one of the co-hosts on Believe in Bears podcast with Marshall Harris and Gabe Ramirez, all of whom are heard on the Score airwaves. That's what you're listening to. Steve Rosenblum on Hub Arkish. So what, as we begin this week with game one coming up against the Titans for the Bears, what counts? What's the bare minimum? What marks a successful year for the Bears in your eyes?
That's a tough one. I've thought about this because, part of me, the fandom of me wants to say, playoffs, but then the player in me, the guy that's been in those locker rooms and it's been on good teams. I've played on the New England Patriots. I've played on the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've won 3 games. Says just improvement. And obviously, I want to see a winning season, 9 wins, 10 wins, something like that. But improvement in how the games go matters. I know we have a rookie quarterback, and it's not wrong to think if everybody stays healthy that this team should and could be a playoff team. But improvement, and that doesn't necessarily mean record improvement. I want to see improvement in all aspects of the game, the defense, the offense, and then to me, the most important part of this season is the growth of Caleb Williams, right? I mean, he's got to be the guy. He's the guy we've waited for, the number one overall pick. I mean, if for some reason he's not, I'm moving, okay? I don't want to be in Chicago because I just know how everybody's going to be feeling out here. It's not going to be fun if he's not the guy. So just developing Caleb Williams into a top-tier quarterback, to me, that is the number one thing from this season. I'm sorry. I know it's important to make the playoffs, but for years to come, if you develop him the right way, you put the right things around him, and if he improves, then there's going to be a lot of good years, not just one. And besides that, yes, I think this team is set up. Ryan Poles has done an excellent job. They are set up to make the playoffs. I think the team that should compete. They don't have to make it, but in the end of the season, when it comes down to it, I don't want the guys coming into Halas Hall just playing football. I want them to know something's on the line and there's a chance that we are competing for a playoff berth. Because let me tell you, I've been in both teams, and there's a different feeling when you're coming in there. You're hopeful. You're excited. You think there's a way you can make this playoff and get in the tournament and have a chance to show some people that you can even sneak a win out, and all bets are off once you get in that tournament.
Cole, I'm going to go to your area of greatest expertise. I don't want to say your only area, but the tight end position, the year the Bears have had. Cole Kmet, they've got him on a long-term contract now. You've got Everett, an excellent signing, really improves him at number two. But the 40-year-old Mercedes Lewis is the number three tight end, who I suspect could go all year without having a pass thrown to him. What is your take on how they intend to use him besides for leadership?
You know, it's funny because I played four seasons with Mercedes Lewis, right? But this was 2013, 14, 15, and 16. And he was old then. He was an old guy then, okay? And for him to still be playing, he's older than I am. I'm waking up with back pain, you know, this morning, getting out of bed. He's still playing NFL football. It's incredible. But the thing I'll say about Mercedes, still a good friend, one of my favorite teammates, and I'm not just saying that because we're talking about him now. In the tight end room, me, Mercedes, and Julius Thomas in Jacksonville had a really close bond. We hung out all the time. We were good friends. But Mercedes is a wealth of knowledge and leadership on the field, but just the stuff he does off the field. This guy's got a great workout routine. He does MMA training every offseason. He's got his routine is what I modeled my routine off of, and people don't realize how big that is when you're an NFL player. Just increment. You have to have a strict routine of what you're doing every day, before meetings, after meetings, before practice, after practice. And this guy does it all. He's getting his massage. He's getting his ART. He's getting his stretch sessions. He's sitting in the sauna. He's sitting in the cold tub. He's doing all these things, and now he's teaching these younger guys how to do that. He's not going to be a big guy when it comes to catching a football. But Mercedes Lewis, he could play in the NFL, probably still, as an offensive tackle. This isn't hearsay. I've watched the guy in practice firsthand on the field. Sometimes when we had tough matchups, he's played offensive tackle all game, basically because he's just a six offensive lineman, because they know Mercedes could block him, but our tackles couldn't in Jacksonville. We were in some tough spots back then, but they knew Mercedes was not going to get beat. He's a competitor. He's got long arms. He's athletic. If something happens in this situation, say Larry Borum, our swing tackle's out right now. Instead of putting our rookie fifth-round draft pick that hasn't taken a snap at offensive tackle, Mercedes Lewis is probably going to play a good half, three-fourths of the game because he's that good of a pass blocker. He's that good of a run blocker. You are not getting past this guy. He's athletic. He's big. He's strong enough to block people. So that's what he brings. If you're struggling with Borum out, you need the swing tackle, or not ready to trust the rookie that hasn't taken a snap, who do we put? You put in Mercedes, and you have him play 50 snaps a game, and that's how he's going to earn his check this year.
Above all, you did not kick Yoda tight end out of your locker room. It's just that simple. Clay Harbor, before we let you go, it is being tweeted out now. Jason Leisure of the Sun-Times tweeted out the Bears have named 18 captains.
Wow.
So let me run them down. Give me your thoughts. Caleb Williams is one of them. Wide receiver DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, and Mercedes Lewis. See, we're talking about tight end Yoda. Yeah. Linebackers TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds, and cornerback Jalen Johnson. Those are the captains named. I'm not sure what procedure was used, but those are your Bears captains. What do you think when you hear that? And are you surprised by the absence of Kevin Byard's name?
No, I mean, I think that's a great list of guys. I know TJ Edwards well. He's a friend of my family. I've known him since he was 2 years old, and the guy's just a hardworking dude, and I love TJ. Jalen has just overcome so much, bringing to light some of the issues he's dealt with, and to be the cornerback he is, to me, he was my player of training camp, the way he was just shutting down offensive players right and left. The guy's in for a huge year. I love the list, but the one thing for me as a player, I like shorter lists as team captain. I wanted two captains. I wanted an offensive and a defensive captain. I wanted maybe you do four. But to me, you know, it means more when you do got the one or two guys on each side of the ball that are really your voice for captains. And I think the group that we have here that they listed is great. They're all professionals. They've all done it. They've all had success, and they are guys you look up to. But my preference, personally, I've been on teams that have done it that way, and I've been on teams to say, hey, we have two captains. All right, our offensive captain is Tom Brady. Our defensive captain is Dante Hightower. You know, our defensive captain is Patrick Chung. You know, the guys that say, hey, these are our leaders. We're going to have guys that step up. But for me, a captain should only be two to maybe four guys. But I think that list of players is impressive, and they're all great leaders. And the thing I like the most is they're all pros that have done it and had success before.
I was wrong. I need to correct this. I didn't read the entire list. There is Kevin Byard's name, safety Kevin Byard, down at the bottom. So it's Caleb, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Mercedes Lewis, TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds, Jalen Johnson, and Kevin Byard. All the levels, all the important levels are represented. Nobody on the offensive line because they don't know who's going to be on the offensive line.
But,
that's
you know,
a good question.
I think you just answered my last question before I asked it, though. If you have eight captains, you don't really have any captains, do you?
Hey!
I mean, yes. What's a captain's job? It's to be in charge. How can you be in charge when you've got eight different guys?
Exactly my thought process with it. When you're a captain, give me two captains. Give me an offensive and defensive captain. If you want a special teams captain to captain the long snapper and the holder and the kicker, even give them a captain. But to me, give me my offensive guy, my defensive guy, and they will lead us out. Instead of having all these voices in there. But, you know, it is a big honor still for these guys because they are pros and they're hardworking guys. I've seen it. I've seen them out there in training camp, and it's a hardworking team, and congratulations to those guys.
Clay, thank you for joining us. Thanks for taking time out on the holiday to talk some Bears football with us. It was a joy. It was terrific having you on.
My pleasure, guys. Appreciate you having me. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Take care, too.
That's Clay Harbor, former NFL tight end, played 9 seasons in the NFL, co-host of the Believe in Bears podcast with Marshall Harris and Gabe Ramirez. All the voices you hear on the score. So I didn't go far enough down on the list. I didn't read the long version of the text or tweet, and I just did now. So Kevin Byard is there, and I thought he should have been. He sounded like a guy that they would... that indeed should be on there. I guess if there was Montez Sweat, he would seem to be a guy that you would go, well, he could be a captain. He certainly.
Yeah, I think the issue there, maybe he's only got 9 weeks with the team.
Kevin Byard has fewer.
That's true. But Kevin Byard is also, what, 31 years old? Well, Sweat is still. There's no right or wrong answers here, but I don't think I've ever heard of eight captains, though. That really caught me off guard when
soon,
you said that.
Soon there'll be a 53-man captain squad. They'll all be that way. You know, we're going to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll, you know what? I've been apprised by a texter. The Cubs are only three games out of the wild card. The Cubs are only three games out of the wild. Three games and two teams out of the last wild card, but they're three games out. We talked about that earlier today, and we talked about Cubs' disregard for the odds calculator and the percentages. They went on a 8-1 road trip, and they scored 99 runs in 10 games, and that'll take care of your percentages, Buster. So we'll talk to Megan Montemurro. She covers the Cubs for the Tribune, and the Cubs are heard right here on this very radio station, and they will try to continue what they used to call in Milwaukee Craig Timber, and now bringing that to Chicago. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Hub Arkish. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
The pitch. A ground ball hit to third, fielded by Mastroboni to second for one. Swanson to first, double play! Ball game over, and the Cubs complete the sweep as they beat the Nationals in the finale 14-1. The Cubs go 8-1 on this 9-game road trip.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome in, welcome back. Highlight courtesy of Zach Zaden and the ginger-haired genius. Cubs indeed ruined the Nationals 14-1. They're listed as three games out of the last wild card spot, but as noted by Hub earlier, and again, 917 texter, actually, they're four games back. They hold no tiebreakers over the Braves or the Mets. They're going to have to beat them outright. There's no tiebreaker there. So the Cubs are four games back in the wild card. But they're still 8-1 on that road trip, and all kinds of things happen. The bottom of the lineup, Jordan Wicks, Pete Crow Armstrong became all-star, and it's amazing what's gone on. So someone who has witnessed it firsthand, and she's in charge of writing about it, maybe she can explain this turnaround. She's Megan Montemurro, Cubs beat writer for the Tribune. She joins us on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. Megan, explain all this. How did this team doing nothing now suddenly put crooked numbers up every game and sometimes twice a game? What happened?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the rate that they're scoring is not sustainable, but I think some of the underlying stuff is obviously really encouraging. And the biggest thing has just been the contributions they've been getting from the bottom third of the lineup. You know, most obviously Pete Crow Armstrong and Miguel Amaya, what they've been able to do over the last, 4 to 6 weeks has been really impressive. And I think it's really important too, to note that it is, over a little bit more of a bigger sample size. This wasn't just a good road trip, for those two guys. Like, they've been producing for a while now. They each made some adjustments to their swing and stance. And so it's really paying dividends, which is huge, obviously, for what they're trying to do right now in September. But obviously, even beyond that, what that could mean for next year as well.
Megan, when a 33-year-old player like Christian Bethencourt comes in your roster and makes the difference that he's made in the last 10 days or 2 weeks, I mean, how does something like that happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think anytime you're going to go on a run, you need some potentially unlikely people to step up during that stretch. And Bethencourt's obviously been really impressive. He's a veteran. He's been around a long time, played for a lot of different organizations. I mean, he's been a good hitter in the past, so I don't think that element is necessarily surprising. But obviously, he's not getting regular at-bats, and yet when those moments do arrive for him, when he is in the lineup, he's been delivering. So sometimes, things have to bounce your way, and for basically 2 to 3 months they hadn't been for the Cubs, so to go on a run like this, obviously it's an uphill battle being essentially four games back right now of the Braves, and plus you have the Mets ahead of them. But, the most you can ask for, especially with how, May through July went essentially, is that they at least have a shot. And, that should at least, this upcoming homestand makes for some exciting games and atmosphere.
Megan Montemurro is our guest. She covers the Cubs for the Chicago Tribune. We're talking Cubs right here on The Score, this here radio station on this here Labor Day. And you hear the Cubs right here on The Score. So yesterday, Jordan Wicks comes back from an oblique, and he came back in pretty nice job. 5 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, Got a big defensive play by Paredes. I wasn't sure he was going to be able to make any defensive plays the way he had been going early on. So he comes back and looks like a guy that they were going to rely on for a lot longer than just the start of September. What do you think this does to Kyle Hendricks's situation?
Yeah, so, you know, coming up against the Pirates, they're going Tyone Steele, Imanaga, which Imanaga's start on Wednesday would have been Kyle Hendricks' spot. So, you know, looks like, at least for a turn, he probably will be available out of the bullpen. I would be surprised if they started him against the Yankees, but, you know, there's still 4 weeks to go, and, you know, Hendricks could very well make a start again at some point this season. But just based how things are lined up against the Pirates, it wouldn't be surprising, at least for the next few days, for him to be available out of the bullpen for them.
And Megan, there's been a fair amount of dissatisfaction in the Bears and the Cubs. I'm sorry, three biggest stars, Dansby Swanson and Cody Bellinger and Ian Happ. And yet in this hot run now, in the last 10 days or so, those three have been arguably the biggest contributors. I have found myself wondering, are Bellinger and Swanson still playing hurt? Are they not 100%?
I mean, Bellinger, when he came back, I mean, his hand, you know, was not 100%. It was something that, kind of like with his ribs last year, was going to take time to heal even after he returned, just because of the nature of a bone injury. But I mean, when you look at what he's been doing lately, he's driving the ball now more than he was when he first came back from the fractured finger. You know, so he's looking, you know, pretty much back to normal. And Dansby, I mean, early in the year, he was bothered by the knee injury that sidelined him for a little bit. And really since then, I mean, his defense definitely upticked back to where, you know, it was expected to be at the Gold Glove level. And I think just lately for Dansby, I don't think it was anything about him necessarily being banged up, but more just like finding his timing at the plate. Anytime, you know, he starts driving the ball the other way, like he's been doing lately, is always a good sign for him being locked in. So I think it's more just in the case, especially for Dansby, just getting his approach and swing where he needs it to be, especially with the timing, and making adjustments, because, you know, opposing pitchers have been throwing him a ton of sliders this season. At one point he was like, I think, facing the fourth most sliders in the majors. So since he's been able to adjust off of that, not chasing as much, he's getting a lot more drivable pitches. And, you know, this last road trip, you know, showed that he's still capable of coming up with some big hits and driving the ball.
Talking with Megan Montemurro of the Tribune. She covers the Cubs. We're talking Cubs baseball here on The Score. Steve Rosenblum, how barkish with you. Megan, I thought Saturday's coming off that Friday game when Craig Counsell didn't have a bullpen and Craig Counsell needed a bullpen and it turned into the Keegan Thompson game. I love the way you walk through the thinking of these guys weren't available. This is what his choices were. Here's how it went. And I thought you did a really good job of showing the managerial thinking and handling a bullpen, getting through a game. And it emphasized to me, you have more experience with this with Craig Counsell, emphasized to me that he really means it when he says, I need you to get an out. It doesn't matter what inning it is, whenever it is, your job is to get outs. We're counting outs, and that's the way it goes. And I think that is a good sign for the Cubs come September, because bullpens are even more chaotic. So what Counsell did Friday, how have you viewed him over these 5 months in the way he's manipulated pitching and found relief in the bullpen?
Yeah, and I mean, the get outs mantra has been something that he's been uttering since spring training. I mean, you know, he says it nowadays and you hear it and everyone kind of laughs because you know that's what he's going to say. I mean, he said it when, you know, we were asking him about Sean Armstrong's role in joining the bullpen, and he reiterated get outs. So I know Cubs fans were frustrated that they didn't go to Porter Hodge in that moment, as, you know, the game felt like it was slipping away in the ninth, but, you know, I think last year is a good example. Like, they relied on too many of the same guys that by the time they got into mid to late September, like, that bullpen was just crushed. And part of that was because of the run they had to make and whatnot. And I think you're seeing, like, you know, there are moments where you have to keep the big picture in mind, even when it puts a win at risk. You know, you're playing the long game. You have to get through to the end of September. And obviously there's some risk in that, but you need guys to step up. And, you know, guys getting experience in those moments can be huge later in the season. I mean, I think Keegan Thompson is a good example. I mean, he spent some time at Iowa this year, but Council has a lot of trust in his ability to get out right-handers because he's shown in some lower leverage spots that he can be really effective against those kinds of hitters in those pockets of the lineup. And so there's ways that you develop trust and experience that moments like, you know, that game, you have to rely on those guys and trust if you're Council that they're going to step up in that moment. And so by doing so, you know, you keep your young closer who doesn't have a ton of big league experience in Porter Hodge, keeping him healthy for the next couple weeks. You know, you're not pushing Jorge Lopez, who is dealing with a groin injury, and you're trying to avoid losing him for, you know, a 15-day IL stint versus just him being down 5 days. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Council has done a really good job of navigating the challenges that come with a bullpen, especially one that, you know, they lost who was supposed to be their closer in Adbert Alzolay for the season and didn't have him most of the year prior before the season ending Tommy John. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's been really interesting watching how that group has evolved. And, you know, as Council has learned his pitchers better and gotten to know them over the last few months, I think you're starting to see that pay off in those moments. And obviously every move is not always going to pay off or work out perfectly. But I think there's a clear method to his approach and also his trust in those relievers.
Megan, players in every sport are going to have ups and downs, but the emergence of Miguel Amaya at the plate in the last month or so has been really almost stunning to me. I mean, he's a different hitter right now. Where did that come from? And did you see it coming? Is that what has been expected and he's finally developing? Or is it just that he's really improving all of a sudden?
Yeah, I think it's both. I mean, he wasn't as bad as he was hitting-wise early in the season. Like, nobody around the team believed that, but also, you know, results matter at this level, and you have to produce at some point. So, yeah, I mean, the turning point really for him was eliminating his leg kick and going to more of a toe tap, which really helped sync up his timing. Everything got smoother. He was able to get to pitches that he hadn't been before. And so I think you're just seeing the potential of a guy who has shown in the minors he can hit the ball well. And, you know, Justin Steele likes telling a story about being at the alt site with him in 2020 and just being wowed at how well he could slug the ball when they were there together. And also, he is still young. He is still a learning player. I mean, because of injuries in the minors, he didn't get in a ton of games, or at least not as many as you might want when you're bringing up a young catcher. But, I mean, given the work that he's done behind the plate, you know, pitchers love throwing to him. I think, you know, these last couple weeks has been huge for not only his overall development and how maybe he is perceived going into the offseason for this organization, but just obviously showing that he is capable of driving the ball and, you know, not being, you know, a black hole in the lineup. I mean, that's so important. And so, yeah, it's been really impressive what he's been able to do.
Megan, we appreciate it. So you're responsible for the road trip. We hope you're just as successful in their homestand, okay?
Thanks for having me.
All right. Megan Montemaro of the Tribune. She covers the Cubs. The Cubs, heard right here on this very radio station, tonight against Los Pirates. They're playing the Pirates, start the homestand. 6:05 pregame show with Zach right here on the WSCR Sports Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Jared Jones and 102 strikeouts in 95 innings and against Jameson Taillon. And that's the way the series will start, coming home after the 8-1 road trip. You'll hear it on The Score. Take a break, and we'll get back. Top of the hour, Rami Makhlouf will be here to take you from 10 to 2. Is that correct, Tyler? Is that correct, Tyler Farringle? Look at you.
That is correct.
You look at you, steering the ship. All right, and I have a we'll be nearing the end of the show, and I have a prayer from George Kittle's dad. He's like, wouldn't he be the greatest Bears fan in San Francisco, George Kittle, right? There's a prayer. I want to share it with you. It's a good way to end the show. He's up, Arkish. I'm Steve Rosenblum, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Steve Rosenblum, Hub Arkish on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Indeed, I am the incandescent Steve Rosenblum. He is the iconic and legendary Hub Arkish. We are going to give away at the top of the hour. Rami Makhlouf will be here from 10 to 2. And at 2 o'clock, broadcasting legend indeed, Chuck Swirsky will be here. And it comes just shortly after the 45th anniversary of his bringing sports talk to Chicago radio. He did it, did the regular Monday through Friday thing. You're giving me a face. He did it Monday through Friday on WCFL, I think, in 79.
Yeah, that face was just, I didn't remember that.
Oh, I thought you said, oh, I've got something different. I was doing it before then. I was doing it, you were doing it when Babe Ruth called his shot against Charlie Root, I thought. But this, I wanted to have Chuck on a couple of weeks ago. We couldn't work it out when it was the anniversary of his doing regular sports talk in Chicago. Apparently WCFL said, we're doing sports talk in the evenings and you're doing it. He goes, oh, okay, here we go. So Chuck will be here, voice of the Bulls. He will be here from 2 to 6. He can certainly talk more than just Bulls, and he can talk Cubs and Bears and like that. And I love talking Bears and Cubs with you today, Hub. It's been great.
I have thoroughly enjoyed it. This is fun. And I didn't, you know, I've never gotten to be part of Saturday Suckage. Well, I've been with you on the air, but this was a 4-hour version that I thoroughly enjoyed.
No, it did suck in parts, but it wasn't that. It was, we were the Mullion Haw stand-ins.
That's true.
We were the I won't say doppelgangers. We were the stand-ins. We're week zero for Mullion Haw. They will be back tomorrow at 5:30 to give you football information and get you set for Bears Titans. Caleb's home debut in the regular season, his first NFL game, his first NFL snap, all of this meaning something. What do you think? What's your for? I know it's early in the week, you can change your mind, but as of now, what do you think? How do you see Sunday's game playing out?
Well, the first thing is that Bears fans are going to see a number of things from Caleb that they have not seen yet, because they've been trying to be very careful with training camp, getting what they can out of it without telling anybody else anything they don't need to know.
Yeah.
But I think the young man has had a very impressive training camp. He's had a very impressive offseason. The entire roster has. It's been really interesting being around this team this year, because this is so different from what I've gotten used to over the years with the different way that the Bears have been run. You know, usually more veterans than youngsters. This is a younger team than what we're used to. And so many of the key producers, or the guys that are going to have to be key producers, we still don't know enough about yet. They are still improving. You know, people forget that at the start of the year last year, it wasn't the Packers, it was the Bears that were the youngest team in the NFL. They became the second youngest when the Packers, after the roster cuts and whatever, they are still one of the younger teams in the NFL. They have added a fair amount of veteran talent. And I think Bears fans are going to be a little surprised by how good some of this veteran talent is. Because when you look at the new safety, the new wide receiver, the new centers, these guys are legit NFL starters. You know, they may not be Pro Bowlers or Hall of Famers, but the Bears, the last 4 or 5 years, have had a lot of guys on the roster who probably didn't belong on the roster. There's nobody on this roster right now who doesn't belong on this roster. This is an NFL playoff competitive type team.
Okay, the Eagles are here. The Eagles brought us in. The Eagles are taking us out. And I want to leave you from the Netflix special Receiver, like they did Quarterback. George Kittle's dad offered this prayer. I'll leave you with this. May you have all the power that you need today, the courage, the leadership, and the tenacity to finish what must be done. Swift of foot, clarity of mind, and just a complete ass kicking. In the name of all that is holy, we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody who listened. Have a good Labor Day. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And I'm feeling strong.
the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.